This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Fender Bender on Joy 94.9, revving up the weekends with news and views on all things motoring.
Good afternoon and welcome. Welcome one and all to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9, your one-stop motoring shop. My name's Tim Nicholson.
We're your motoring shop.
We're kind of selling. Well, you can't buy much from us, can you? Let's be honest.
Certainly not while we're on the air, anyway.
No, exactly.
Meet us in the lobby afterwards. Meet us in a dark alley afterwards.
Yeah. We'll sell you some good stuff.
This has got off to a bad start. I blame myself.
Mike Costello, you are a bad human being. I know. But we love you for it.
I was going to say, I quite like the one-stop motoring shop. I thought that was good ring to it. You've not used that one before, and I'm quite fond of it.
Maybe I'll do it again next week.
All right.
Maybe. We'll see.
I'd say it rolls off the tongue, but then we've got the euphemisms coming.
This is the thing.
Yeah, okay. I got my little tally chart going for how many innuendos we can get, and that was the first one within a minute. So excellent. Well done.
That's true. And I am here, as you can tell, with Mike and Dan. Boys, what's up?
Yo, I'm getting over a flu, so you have to forgive my husky voice. But I'm feeling good today, and it's nice and sunny out, so, you know, what could be better?
That's true. You kind of sound like a jazz singer.
Do I?
Kind of. Well, really? That's what I said. Like a soul.
I've always
kind
wanted
of.
To be. I've always, you know, felt like there was a part of me that was like Billie Holiday. So maybe, you know, maybe I'm finally achieving.
Possibly.
That goal.
I thought you were more Billie Elliot, but that's
Billie
just
Elliot.
Me.
Yes, well, you that's know, kind I, of weird. I was born to dance ballet.
That's true. Clearly. It's true. Now, we have got a very large show today. We're going to be talking about mid-size wagons. We're also going to be talking about motoring pet peeves. We want to know what your pet peeves are out on the road. I've got about a million. I'm sure you two grumpy buggers have quite a few as well.
We need you seven listeners out there. But we need your input. We need to know what annoys you, what peeves you of out there on the road, because we can't do this alone. We need your input. Everybody has something that they see every day other drivers doing, and it annoys the crap out of them.
It's so true.
I guarantee you're not alone, because if it's annoyed you, it's definitely annoyed someone else, and it's certainly annoyed me, because I get annoyed with everything on the road.
I'm the same. I'm awful human being on the road. But we have a lot of news as well, and we've got a prize to give away, which is very exciting, and I can't tell you what it is, but it has something to do with Ricky Lee. So I've pretty much given it away.
You actually win Ricky Lee. We just package her up
exactly
in a little box, and there she goes.
Send her off. She's very small now.
She's compact.
She is. She just gets
that's very considerate of her to sort of reduce her size to reduce our postage costs.
It's true.
It's good of her to
every
do
little
that
bit helps.
She's a big fan of Joy, and we're a big fan of Ricky Lee, so
it's a mutual love affair.
Fender Bender on Joy 94.9.
My love don't cost a thing.
My love does cost a thing. I'm fairly expensive, but I'm not Jennifer Lopez.
I'm an extremely shallow person, and I'm also a gold digger, so my love is very expensive. You know,
but at least
I respect
genuine.
Her standpoint.
Yep.
But I don't do it myself.
What I don't understand, one of the lyrics in that song is, "Think I want to floss, I've got my own." What does that mean?
That's not.
Does she mean flossing her teeth?
Doesn't mean. Does she say that?
Yeah. I looked it up.
I can think of only one meaning.
What kind
of that. That's dental hygiene.
What kind of floss would Jennifer Lopez use?
Very
like
expensive.
Gold tip floss.
No, it would be silk.
It would be silk.
Yeah.
Only the finest floss for Jennifer Lopez.
It's true. It's for La Lopez. Now, speaking of amazing, amazing, wonderful female pop stars, as I said before, Joy, big fans of Ricky Lee's, and Ricky Lee's Fear and Freedom Tour is happening on Wednesday, the 5th of September this year from 8 p.m. at Billboard, the venue, 170 Russell Street, Melbourne. Now, guys, the concert features world-class production and a full live band with dancers, as if there wouldn't be dancers. It's Ricky Lee. Come on. The ever-joyous Ricky Lee will be pumping out all her recent platinum hits like Raining Diamonds and Do It Like That, as well as a full swag of back-catalogue Ricky Lee classics and brand-new tracks from her highly anticipated new album, Fear and Freedom. And that is all thanks to Black Label Entertainment. Guys, you can win tickets to this, okay? You can win tickets to Ricky Lee's concert, and that's very exciting. So we want you to let us know. It's a double pass, by the way, so you don't have to go on your own.
That'd be weird, wouldn't it? Just going by yourself would be creepy.
I've been to Billboard's by myself before, actually.
Have you?
Yes,
you
would have.
You would have been a piece of meat there by yourself.
It was brilliant.
Who did you see?
I was torn to shreds.
Oh, God.
It was some dance act. I think it was either Above and Beyond did a show there, and I couldn't find anyone to go with me, so I went by myself.
I don't don't mind going to a bit of a gig by yourself. I think it's fine.
It was good, actually. You always make friends.
Well, this is true. But these, you know, if you love Ricky Lee, you do not have to go by yourself. It is a double pass. And all you have to do is text in. We are so, but you know, it's a Fear and Freedom tour. It's the Fear and Freedom album. We want to know, when was the last time that you were in fear for your life in a car? What was the scariest moment you've had in an automobile?
I've got to hear these responses.
The funniest story, I think. We're not most sympathetic. The funniest story wins.
Absolutely. Yeah, you get the prize.
How do they reach us, though, Tim?
They can text in 0427-JOY-949. You can call the fabulous Heath on 1300-JOY-949 or email onair@joy.org.au. We would love to hear from you, and we want to know your outrageously scary stories. We might even tell some of ours later. Yeah?
Plenty of those.
Exactly.
And what a prize as well. We can't win the prize, though, can we?
No.
Oh, well, I might not get out of my best stories then.
We'll
save
see.
Them for a rainy day.
Exactly. He's just going to give his mediocre stories.
Yeah. So, still pretty terrifying, yeah, I have to say.
Exactly. So text in, email in, or call in to win the double pass to Ricky Lee. Anyway, we're moving on from pop stars now. We're back to motoring.
From
back
pop to stars to cars.
Oh, pop cars. Listen hey. To us.
Good link.
That's true. That's true. So, bit of exciting news. Well, potentially exciting news from General Motors this week.
From
guys.
The General,
yeast.
Yeah. Well, as we all know, the local car industry is not in the healthiest state, and Holden is probably the healthiest of those, but it's still not going that great. But one success story for them lately has been the fact that they're making the Cruise here, the small car, new platform, new car, going quite well. Anyway, there's been a report during the week that indicates that the next generation Cruise, due mid-decade, will have an SUV variant. So a lot of the compact SUVs out there, like the Volkswagen Tiguan, are based on small cars like the Golf. So GM's going to do that. And what that means is it opens the door for Australia to also produce its very own compact SUV. Which, when you think about it, there's a good chance the Commodore won't exist past 2018. There's no confirmation of that. That segment's dying. And Mike Devereaux, the head of Holden, has come out and said previously there will be two cars developed here. You know, it's not confirmed, but if you join the dots, you think this could be a way for the Australian car industry to continue is by producing other cars like a compact SUV. Quite exciting.
Well, that's where, obviously, that's where the sales are going. Like,
oh, and love them or hate them, people are buying them. They are
absolutely
growing every year. And it's funny because a new model that never existed before joins, and it doesn't steal sales from existing cars. It just creates another bunch of buyers.
And
it's amazing.
He's said a while ago he wants to build whatever Australia wants to buy. So
it would make total sense.
Of course.
And they've also got, they've already got a Barina-based SUV globally, and it's called the Trax, and it's coming here. That's the trend that's happening. All these SUVs, they don't need to be rugged off-road machines. They just base them on small passenger cars.
And when we hear about companies announcing they're going to build a car like this compact SUV, or, you know, if they, potentially they may, all us petrol heads sit around, you know, not just shaking our heads saying, well, this is not a car that we're particularly interested in. However, the silver lining to the cloud is if they sell a lot of these cars to people who do want them, that's the cash cow for the company, and it allows them to put funding into a car that potentially will appeal to us.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's all good. It's all good.
Totally. The more the merrier, I say.
Yes. Well, we know your motto on these motors.
Exactly. Well, this is the thing. But in saying that now, nice segue, great news from GM, but also not amazing news coming from GM in the States this week.
Look, there's been a big report from very respected publication Forbes, and I had a bit of a look at this, and the share price of General Motors, and this is quite boring stuff, but it is important. The share price is really, really low. The government bailed out General Motors not too long ago in America. Obama poured billions of dollars and bought about a quarter of the company, and it's underperforming terribly, and it's sliding back down towards that crash point that it had before, which influences Holden, which influences Opel, all the brands it has around the world. It's a pretty dire situation that the old General's in at the moment.
It's a bit sad, isn't it? Yeah.
Especially if, you know, like you, you're a giant Logan Holden fan.
Well, look,
what
you know,
does it mean?
I come from that background. My grandfather had a Holden dealership. I kind of didn't have a choice, really. It was just, you know, in my veins, as they say. But that makes me very sad that that could be happening. And the article mentions as well that Opel is kind of a basket case in Europe.
Well,
Europe is a bit of a basket case financially, obviously. And Opel's, you know, not doing amazingly. And he was kind of hinging it on the release of the Malibu, which is the mid-size car that's coming out. It's been released in America.
In America.
And we're getting it here as the replacement for the god-awful Epic.
And apparently it's quite crap.
Yeah, this is the thing.
Yeah, but, so it's a Camry rival, and I'm already falling asleep in my chair just talking about it.
Oh,
but apparently it's pretty awful.
Right.
Unanimous reports say it's quite awful. And it's coming here early next year, and we're going to have to wait and see ourselves. But if they keep pumping out mediocre product, they're not going to sell them. They didn't learn their lesson. That was the lesson to be learned.
You have to make good product. Yeah.
And they've not done that, by all reports. I'll have to drive it myself before I know for sure.
Yeah.
But it's very frustrating to see this happening. And how can Obama justify to his voters, or if Romney gets voted in, how can they justify to bail out the company again? I don't think they can.
No.
So what does it mean?
It's very, very interesting. I don't know. I just hope they survive, because if they don't, then...
Mike sort of spells it out so succinctly. You know, all the evidence is there. They've made bad decisions. They've had money to make good decisions, and they didn't. Is this... I don't know. You didn't quite go to the extent, Mike, but are you saying the writing's on the wall?
No, I'm not. They're a massive company. They're not going to go under anytime soon.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is they've been given a ton of US government money, and they've continued to pump out mediocre product, by all accounts.
Yep.
Selfish, and they're using money that isn't theirs, and I just can't escape the feeling that... The signs are there that it could be going down again.
And look, that, you know, they downsized. They'd lost a lot of brands after they went into...
And that was all for the good.
Absolutely. But maybe that has to keep happening. Maybe they haven't gone far enough.
Maybe.
Yep.
Who knows?
But we will keep an eye on this. Absolutely. We have... I'm very interested.
We're putting on our investigative journalist.
It's true.
A little Federer with a pen shoved in it.
I was going to say, that's a perfect kind of hat.
We all had our sort of highest concentration expressions on our faces the next
week. We were very serious.
I know. It was pretty... It's pretty deep.
It's true.
It caught me off guard once in a while.
It's true.
Fender Bender on Joy 94.9.
We want to know what your pet peeves are on the road. There's
Tell
a lot.
Guys, don't be shy. Tell us.
We
know you have them. Everybody has them.
This is the thing. So all you need to do is text in 1300. That's a lie. That's a phone number. 0427 Joy 949 or email on air at joy.org.au. We want to hear from you. Also, if you want to go in the running to win the double pass to Ricky Lee's Fear and Freedom Tour, which is on Wednesday, the 5th of September, you have a chance, but you have to tell us what's the most fearful, the scariest moment you've ever had in a car. Okay.
What a prize. I still can't believe we're giving that away.
I know, right? I know. My scariest moment was probably just driving with Mike the other day. I mean, just around the corner. I mean,
it was outrageous. In all fairness, you were sitting on the roof at the time. I told you to sit in the cabin and you wouldn't, so how can I be blamed?
I just wanted to try something different.
I'd be prepared to go on record and say that I think probably one of Tim's scariest moments in the car was our recent drive day at Calder Park. I can say probably without a shadow of a doubt that at one point on the four-wheel drive course, he did let out a little bit of wee.
I was going to say something else and I won't, because that was just disgusting.
So there you go.
There was a certain section of that that I did.
I did too. I have to
change my undies.
Yes, I had a couple of very.
Yes, but the Wrangler has the upholstery is very easy to clean. So you don't need to
just get hosed.
Exactly.
Pretty much,
it's a hose cleaning material. We've just had a message from Graham from Wheelers Hill who has said, "Ooh, Malibu looks crap. Prefer a Hyundai." And Graham...
Prefer a push bike.
Well, I mean, you make a good point.
Yeah.
And yes, the Hyundai i40 is a good-looking car.
It's stunning.
And this is the kind of car that the Malibu has to beat if it wants to be successful. It's easy to look better than a Camry.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of good cars in that segment.
It's just disappointing because the Epica was such a fail. It was such a fail.
It was an Epica fail.
I was 2 seconds behind you. I remember when I
first became a motoring journalist, one of the very first stories I ever wrote was about a Holden Epica.
Oh, God.
It was that little tiny shite bit that meant nothing, but I did use that in my headline and I was inordinately proud of myself.
That's a good start. I'd say a good way to start a career in journalism.
It's only
going to improve from there.
I can't wait for Subaru to make a bad Impreza, and then I'm going to write the headline, "Not very impressive."
Oh, wow.
I can't wait to do that one.
Oh, God.
The current one's not very impressive.
There you go. You can have that one if you want, Mike. That's
it's
yours.
Already been stolen. I'm already thinking of ways to use it.
All right.
Listen to it.
I'm
now,
just a charity.
Something else that was revealed this week, boys. Now, this is one of the biggest cars in the world, so it's pretty exciting. Mike is probably not going to be able to contain himself. Dan, I think you're the same.
I'm practically bursting at the seams.
Literally. The new Corolla has been revealed, guys. Oh my God, I'm so excited.
Was that a gay gasp?
It was actually a triple gay gasp followed by an almost vomit.
Wow.
New Corolla.
You have just crossed a new gay threshold.
Greshold.
They're at level 96 achieved.
Now, look, this is a hugely important car.
Let's be honest. Yes, it is a Corolla, and yes, I am actually catatonic talking about it, but it will be Australia's biggest selling car next year.
Without a doubt.
I mean, the Corolla, the Mazda 3 is currently the most popular in that segment. The Hilux is doing well, but the Corolla, safe to say, will probably top the charts next year. So, love it or hate it, extremely important car.
Yeah.
They're going to reveal it for the first time here at the Sydney Motor Show in October, and we're going to start talking more and more about the Sydney show going forward. And it's going to be one of their headline acts there. They've shown it during the week, and it looks okay. It's not exciting, but it's a bit sharper, a bit less boring than the current one.
Yeah.
Not a whole lot's changed underneath, to be honest with you, but there will be a warm-ish sort of sports version, it looks like. Not a lot is known at this stage, but it looks like they might try and take it in a bit of a sportier direction, in lieu of things like the 86 and Toyota's newfound kind of interest in making things exciting.
Well, you know, and they've got to do something about that, and they are, and that's great. And look, I think it looks all right, and I'm gonna pop it on our social media pages now. So if you go to fenderbender.org/ Why do I keep saying that? joy.org/FenderBender. You can find links.
You're having visions of grandeur, I think.
You're topsy-turvy.
That's the problem that was going on here. And I think that's fine. You know, we do a good job here. I think it's good to you know, put us on a pedestal. You keep doing that. That's fine.
Well, I'll give it a red hot go, guys.
All right.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm going to put that up right now. But the other thing I really quickly wanted to mention was this week, Mitsubishi launched, I guess is the right word, facelifts of the ASX and the Lancer.
Which point?
They don't look any different to me. That's fine, whatever. But apparently, so the CEO, there was, you know, a media conference or whatever, and the CEO was quoted as saying that he doesn't know why people buy Mitsubishis. The product's old, it's too expensive. Controversial. Newish CEO saying something like that.
There is a bit of a backstory. And this got a big run during the week. There is a bit of a backstory. This guy, he's Japanese. He's recently come over. He's started the role. And he is, you know, he doesn't take a lot of nonsense. I've actually seen a company memo saying he actually put out an email to people within the company saying, look, I've been misunderstood. I didn't mean to say what I said because English is my second language. But the quotes that he said, you know, I don't know why anybody would buy a Mitsubishi, pretty damning.
A little bit.
Honestly, something that a lot of us are probably agreeing with because their sales are pretty damn low this year compared to last year. And they've got an aging lineup.
All everything. There's nothing. The ASX is the most recent thing in the lineup, the little SUV, right? And that's a couple of years old.
And it is. I mean, last year we talked a lot about Honda and the apparent decline in Honda's lineup. And this year I think Mitsubishi has taken the mantle from Honda as that iconic company that really is in a bit of a struggle to, you know, have exciting and interesting product. And have a look at some of the new stuff they've got. The Sydney show, again, they'll have some new stuff there, a new Outlander and a new Mirage. It kind of looks a bit dull. It's not very exciting. And I'm wondering, this exciting, cool, sexy company of, you know, the Tommy McKinnon era rally cars and all these cool Mitsubishis, even the old Gallants and things were quite cool.
Yeah.
What's happening? What's going on?
I know, it's a shame, isn't it? It is. Is it worth mentioning now, it's not the first time that Mitsubishi have gotten to, it's not exactly trouble, but it's made history through Lost in Translation, and that was back in the 80s, the Mitsubishi Starion.
Yes.
If you don't know this story, then you really should. But yeah, I mean, that car was supposed to be called the Stallion, and due to the way that some people with a Japanese accent pronounce the word L, it came across in a PR conversation as a Mitsubishi Starion was going to be the new car launched, and that's what then ended up going on the badge. So, yeah, it's not the first time it's happened. I think we have to be very careful how we report these things. As we were talking before the show, Mike, you know, it's responsible journalism that leads to the correct facts being brought across. Yeah. And it's irresponsible to twist the way someone has said something to
in all fairness, he did say it. Perhaps he didn't mean it that way, but it was said. And at the end of the day, what we need to take out of this is, whether he meant it or not, he does raise a point.
Totally.
Whether he wanted to or not.
Exactly.
The point is, yes, Mitsubishi's stuff is looking a bit old, a bit tepid at the moment, and I'm wondering what they're going to do about it.
I'll tell you what they should do. Bring back those Please Consider ads from the early 90s when Magna came out.
What an absolute success.
Oh, my God, I loved them. This was
It's so polite. It's not like, I can't. It's just Please Consider.
Yeah.
Would you please?
So they had a Japanese executive from Mitsubishi in these quite stylish looking ads and talking about a blade of grass, and it was all this Japanese music in the background. It was very Japanese style.
Sounds
which is
very
why
zen.
I loved it. And then the guy was like, please consider the Mitsubishi Magna. So like almost kind of begging, but in a really polite way.
It was almost like a sort of like an uncle figure just saying, look,
a little bit.
Just consider, you know, we're not trying to pressure you.
Exactly.
We're not trying to force you. Just think about it.
Just have a small think about it. It's very true. So, you know, I mean, we'd love to know what's going to happen, and I'm sure we will very soon. Now, we've got lots of people
texting. We've got our eye on you, Mitsubishi.
Exactly.
All right, that's
exactly.
Come on, guys. Pick it up.
Fender Bender on Joy 94.9.
I hope we didn't have to inform you that you were listening to the radio.
Did you wonder where all these strange voices were coming from?
Not in your head. They're not in your head.
No, this is it's a radio.
We are real. It's over the airwaves. Pet peeves on the road. Guys, do we have?
We do. We've actually just got a message from our good mate, Macca.
Oh, hello, Macca.
He hates Prado drivers.
Oh, that's pretty short and sweet, isn't it?
Yeah, and I got it. Well, I actually hate Kluger drivers more. Toyota Kluger drivers more.
Why is that?
Well, they always seem to be cut from the same cloth, you know? Kind of
is
not
it
paying
that?
Attention to anything in their immediate vicinity.
Is it deliberate ignorance or is it just sort of...
Well, I think I just have something against the whole soccer mum in big SUV type thing. You know, and I think Klugers are just one of the most popular. But you do see, I go through a lot of school zones in the morning and they just kind of don't pay attention to anybody that isn't in their car.
Yeah.
So you don't hate mums that, you know, go to the soccer. You just mean the whole...
I'm all for mums attending sports events. I totally support that. Because sport is good.
That's right.
I've got one. I've got a...
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I should clarify that.
No,
a,
please.
A pet
please.
Hate. That's not a one anything else that, you know... Like, we'll talk about that later. My pet hate is, how difficult is it to follow the simplest of simple rules, keep left unless overtaking? How hard is that?
Oh, you're talking about lane hogs.
And I must say, that was the example I put on the social media page today. It's probably one of my,
it's
not my
absolute
biggest.
There's going to be a crackdown. The Victorian government recently announced a crackdown. Well, they're supposedly going to announce a crackdown where cops are instructed, if you're going under the speed limit in the right-hand lane, you get pulled over and fined. Because, yes, you can get fined for driving under the speed limit in the right lane. Because it's a fast lane. So hopefully they actually enforce this, because I get the feeling lots of people don't know
that
if you're in the right lane, you need to be going the proper speed.
Yeah,
that's excellent news.
It just kills you.
Yeah, absolutely. And if we were to be... I'm going to give a little bit more detail on what makes me really mad behind the wheel.
Yep.
He's glowing red.
People deliberately... That's just my natural glow. Don't worry. People deliberately driving badly is bad. But people driving badly ignorantly, that's what gets me more. So people who sit dawdling along in the fast lane, just in their own little world, that is the ultimate cardinal sin on the road.
Yeah.
And do you think it ties into the lack of driver education here, where people actually genuinely have no effing idea that what they're doing is wrong? Because I get the feeling, when I got my license, it was the easiest thing in the world. It was a cakewalk.
Yeah.
And I wonder whether we're well-trained, and this is an old issue, we're dusting this one off, but are we really well-trained enough when we get our license?
No.
Are we ignorant of the rules? And that's a real concern.
And I think that's spot on, and I think we have spoken about this before, but people get taught to get their license, they don't get taught how to drive.
Absolutely right.
In this country, and that's a bit of a shame. So I think that's a big one, actually. I must say that one of the reasons I brought this up was because I was with friends last night, and they have a last model Volkswagen Golf, and there was a big dent in the boot of the Golf, and we walked in to dinner and we said, what the hell happened? And they said, we have absolutely no idea.
Oh,
we parked it in a car park, came out, and it had a dent in the back of it.
Absolute jerks.
Now, this is my just most hated thing, and I think it should be punishable by death. People who you're innocently parking in a car park and you come out and something has happened to your car. So people know, you know, when you've hit a car, you know. Even if it's a light bump or the door, and this is the problem with the opening the doors, that it's going to scrape against the car next to you. You know you've done that. I'm sorry. You know that you've done that. All you have to do is just put your details on under the windscreen wiper.
Absolutely right. Insurance company pay for it. No skin off your nose.
This is the thing.
Yeah.
It's not really that much of a hassle.
I would say it's just all part of being a human being. If you don't do that, you don't deserve to be called a normal human being.
I agree. I think you should walk around with a sign.
It is the height of rudeness. I like that you mentioned the note thing, though, because this is probably could be verging on an urban myth, but I'll tell it anyway. But I have heard an account where someone came back to their car and the car had damage to it that had been done while they were away, and they found a note on the windscreen. They thought, oh, this is fantastic, someone's done it. Bad news, but at least they left their details. And as they read the note, they realised that what they'd done was they actually worded it in the note. They said, I'm leaving this note now because everyone saw me do this, and now I'm going to if I left, then they'd probably make a note of my registration plate. So I'm writing this note to make it look like I'm leaving my details, but actually I'm not. See you later.
And
so obviously the people had been watching and thought, oh, we'll make sure they leave a note. And when they left the note, they didn't take any details down.
Oh, my God.
And they got away with it scot-free. Isn't that what? Now, I was a bit reluctant to say that because I don't want to give anyone the idea.
No.
So no one do that.
No one. And we will find you.
Yeah, we will. And
somehow.
Even if we don't, then there's this little thing called karma, spelt with a C, because we're on Fender Bender. Karma. And if you,
that's nice.
If you want to make that withdrawal from the bank of karma, then you do that. But it will come back around.
Make that withdrawal from the bank of karma. Really? What is that?
That is pretty spectacular.
Everyone has a karma bank account, and you can either pay into it or you can take out. You can make withdrawals. It's up to you.
So I'm overdrawn on
that. That's right. Once you overdraw, you are screwed.
Yeah, you've got quite the debt.
Yeah.
But I must say, just following on from that, the other thing is, you're right, you don't know when you're going to be watched. And my lovely boyfriend, his mother recently was parked in Mailing Road in Canterbury and came back and her car had a big dent in it. Same kind of situation.
Yeah.
Luckily, a busybody neighbour from across the road who was just sitting there looking out the window waiting for something to happen saw the accident, so called the police. So you don't know who's going to watch dob on you. And should we dob? Yes, we should.
Absolutely.
Yeah? People say dobbers wear nappies. I don't think so. That's all I'm going to say about that.
I've never heard anyone say that.
Have you ever heard the one, dobbers kiss robbers?
I have not heard that.
We said that back in primary school, and now that I think on it, that is the strangest expression known to man.
It is odd. It is, crime and sexual. Anyway.
Ooh.
It's getting a bit creepy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Throwing my pen around.
That's right. You fumbled your pen. You were so flustered.
Twice.
Oh, excellent.
Now, have we...
Well, I think the one other one that I wanted to mention was in general people who are tentative behind the wheel.
Right.
I think it might be emblematic or symptomatic of a wider thing where, you know, tentativeness isn't a particularly appealing characteristic. But behind the wheel, when you get somebody at, let's say, an intersection who creeps forward inch by inch by inch, or somebody who is trying to merge and it says, go, you're letting somebody in, you're
the
flashing
merging.
Them, and they stop and they go and they stop and they go.
God.
And you end up
yep.
paralytic with rage and you're screaming because this person, are they coming? Are they going? What are they doing?
Yeah.
Tentativeness does, and I don't know why, because they're not really doing anything, but something about it irks me up the wall.
There was an ex-copper in the UK, traffic cop, who, after retiring, went on the record as saying that, in his professional opinion, being a traffic cop for years and years, he believed that hesitation, indecision, caused more accidents than excessive speed.
Really?
He caused a real big ruckus in the UK because, you know, everyone always says, oh, well, speed is obviously the thing that kills everyone.
But we all know that's a lie.
Exactly. But actually, no. No, he went on record and said, no, people faffing around and dawdling, that causes more accidents than anything else.
And can I get controversial for a second?
Please do.
Please.
One word.
What?
Lycra.
Hang on.
Okay.
I work on Beach Road. I will make that.
I see where you're going with this. Yeah.
Cyclists, I know you are technically allowed to double up. And I know you're technically allowed to take up a lane, but please don't. Please.
For Mike's sake. Don't. For Mike getting
because
to work in the morning.
My I have a nice full head of hair, but I suspect every time I pass a cyclist interrupting peak hour traffic with their nonsense, causing everybody to merge, I lose just a couple. And the way it's going, I'll be bald in 3 years.
It is.
He promised controversy and he delivered.
Please,
yeah, okay.
I'm totally for your right to cycle. I'm not one of these people who hates cycling. But, wow, sometimes you just... one cyclist can cause pandemonium on an entire stretch of road.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
It's give and take. You have to... You know, cyclists could take all those rules and live by them. Like you say, you know, two abreast, that's legal. But unless we get this sort of nice sort of cohabiting of the road between a motorist and cyclist, we're always going to have this feud between us.
Well, I don't think it has to be a feud. I think
little understanding.
There are just as many awful drivers, probably more awful drivers than there are awful cyclists. But I think it's also more an issue for the government as far as getting their together with bloody bike paths.
But then again, on Beach Road, there are bike paths.
That bike path is
and
terrible.
And cyclists don't use them.
Yeah, yeah. But that for a I'm not a professional biker, but I've walked on that path and it is shocking.
I am a cyclist and I use that bike path frequently and I don't mind it at all. Do you know why? Because I ride a proper bike.
Are we talking about like far out Beach Road? How far out Beach Road are you talking?
Probably not the bit you're talking about.
Because where we're talking about is fairly poorly paved. Yeah, which, you know, that's the government. They've got to do something about it. Anyway, look, we are just, you know, we are bringing up issue after issue.
I know.
And dear listeners have been texting in. Now, we've got Tristan has texted in. I'm not sure about this. He said, what about overseas drivers who don't care how they drive and walk in Australia?
Well, you do. It is a point raised where every country has different road rules and different customs and things. And I guess it goes both ways as well. You know, when you, I don't know if you've ever driven in another country, driven in a left-hand drive country, for instance, it can be extremely confusing and difficult. But, you know.
And that's the thing. I mean, you know, but especially if you're a tourist coming over here, you're just not going to know the road rules. So it's very hard to say, you know, you need to work out all of the road rules and exactly how we do things. Well, you're just never going to do that.
But it's amazing how liberating it is when you're an Australian and you go over to another country where speed isn't... Like in Victoria, 103 k's an hour in a 100 zone, you can get fined. That, and by the way, listeners, know this. That happens nowhere else in the bloody world. Nowhere else in the world is obsessed with speed to such an anorak degree as Victoria is. And that's the most liberating thing. You go somewhere else and you drive and you can actually drive without staring at the speedometer every 2 seconds of your trip.
That's true.
And you think, wow, I'm actually paying attention to the road for once. This is amazing.
Because that does get dangerous. And I, you know, we all do it. I sit there, the amount of times that I'm looking down to see my bloody speedo when I should be, you know, concentrating on driving. Just to go back very quickly, your pet peeve, our Facebook Fender Bender page, has had not one but two comments supporting
you. There's a chorus
of
agreement. We're talking about going under the speed limit.
Well, this is the suburban mums who have no idea how to drive their SUV.
Oh, very good.
I think Guy and Bernie have both texted in.
I think that is a popular one.
Yeah. Well, this is the thing. If you're a suburban mum, let us know. Why do you drive like that?
Yes, please defend yourself. We want to know. Or do you not have, as we suspect, you probably don't have a justification.
Do you think there are many suburban mums listening to Joy on a Saturday?
Probably not.
Maybe.
Let's be honest.
Who knows?
You know, flicking through the channels. Have we had other people tell us some things about that? We have had somebody text in, just going back a bit again, the Corolla will be as exciting as a stale raisin toast.
Now, raisin toast does have a hint of excitement about it.
It does.
A nice juicy raisin.
I'd say the Corolla does have some cinnamon aspects to it.
Cinnamon.
Yes, I think, you know, it's got, the Corolla does have the odd raisin in there, definitely. And
really?
It might not necessarily be stale. I'd say it's still pretty fresh.
I think you're raising a good point.
Oh, dear Lord.
Come on, guys. That was gold.
You've got both hands in the air.
Look,
we are going to leave you hanging on that one.
Damn you.
Yeah, that's right.
Fender Bender on Joy 94.9.
We're going through some of the answers.
We've been inundated, guys. Thank you so much for your feedback. Great response. Thank you very much.
Yeah. So we've got a few answers there.
We've had a couple of rippers. Yep. We had one from Steve from South Yarra telling us he was once driving in Edinburgh, Scotland, and started driving up a hill, not realising it was closed for a match. I assume this is a soccer match. Ended up by accident joining in Edinburgh's gay Pride Scotia.
Must be what they call the Pride March.
Their Pride March. Driving through a Pride March. And he had to drive back down the hill with him for about 10 minutes.
I love that.
That would be a surreal experience.
Any support they can get, that's fine. Even if they have to con people into going past roadblocks.
It's true.
That's great. So more support, the better, I'd say.
It's true. There was another one.
We had one from our dear friend, Macca, telling us... driven around Albert Park Grand Prix, the Grand Prix track in Albert Park by Mick Doohan in a C63 AMG Black Series.
That would scare the absolute.
No, because Mick Doohan, he knows what he's doing.
That's true. It would be.
Although he is more used to two wheels than four.
That's true.
That's a pretty good one. That's not only is it scary, that's pretty cool.
Exciting.
That
would be pretty, yeah,
that,
totally.
That's an envy.
Thanks, Macca. Awesome. You're a bit of a topper, clearly.
That's true. Oh, well, that's his own business.
We also have one from Nick.
Yes.
He talked about his scariest experience. He once went for a drive with a friend who was a great driver. Nice to make that known. In a little Toyota with a turbo, I think, and possibly a rotary. And we went sideways around all corners in dry weather. Obviously, the friend had some talent because it's not easy to get sideways in dry weather. And he sat coolly back while shitting his pants.
Wow.
That's an evocative thing to say, no less. Needless to say, his friend bought the car from a guy in Geelong.
Absolutely, as
he should. It passed all tests and flying colours.
And I'm assuming, it doesn't say in the text message, I'm assuming that was on a private road or a circuit.
Without a doubt.
Absolutely.
We are very happy to be joined as well by the wonderful Heath. Heath, thank you. Heath is on the Fine Stars program support and is an all-round wonderful human being. Welcome.
Hello, everybody.
Are you well?
I'm very well, thank you. I think very well rested.
Oh, good.
You know, after a couple of weeks off. And
exactly. You're looking refreshed.
I was going to say radiant was the word I was going to use.
Radiant. Yeah, I like that.
Radiant.
That's true. Now, we've picked a winner, I believe.
We have.
Yes.
Which is very exciting. So the question was, what is your scariest moment in a car? Take it away.
Well, before I read it out, I could tell he's been auto-corrected a few times.
Ah.
There are a couple of words that I can't quite work out what he was trying to say, so okay. I will pre-apologise if I get it
wrong. It kind of suits your accent in a strange sort of way, though.
Oh, there you go.
That's true.
All right. Now, hi, guys. I have become a big fan, but he's a bug fan, of your show. My fear car story was when I hired a Jeep in the Canary Islands, forgot to grab the soft roof in my eagerness, and proceeded to drive around the Tenerife. Realised I was running out of time to get back to my hotel, so decided to cut across the mountains for a shortcut. As I got higher and higher, the road became a one-lane dirt road. It was getting dark and no room to do a truth. Can you work out what he was trying to say there?
I'm not the foggiest.
Let's say U-turn.
U-turn.
Okay. Must be.
Okay. Started noticing a little religious shrines on my left and a sheer drop to my right. And when I pulled over, realised there were shrines for all the poor souls who'd gone over the edge and died.
Uh-oh.
Oh, God.
I crapped myself and made a video in case something happened to me in the event of...
Wow.
Fortunately, I made it to the peak and down the other side many hours later, but not without chocolate rivers down my legs for the duration.
Did you say chock rivers?
Chocolate rivers.
Oh, yucky.
Oh, yes.
Oh, no. That's just the Tenerife food, though.
And the video has provided many laughs for friends since.
Wowzers. That is spectacular.
That is an amazing story. Can we possibly go past something that happened in the Canary Islands of all places?
Totally.
Who the Canary Islands?
This is the thing. And who was that that texted that in?
That was Grant from... Doesn't say where he's from, but have his
Grant,
membership number.
You have won a double pass to Ricky Lee's concert.
Congratulations.
On the 5th of September.
Thank you for the story, and thank you for surviving so that the story came back to us, and you didn't have to leave it as a video for us to find.
Exactly. Thank God for that. And Heath, thank you very much for letting us know the winner.
By the way, if you'd like to send us that video of you... on the side of the I would love to see
I'd
that.
Love
That'd
to see that.
Entertaining, wouldn't it?
Oh, my God. Absolutely.
Congratulations, fella.
Congratulations, Grant. And thank you for everyone for texting in. We do appreciate all of your textulations that we have encountered.
We have a very healthy text life here at Joy.
We do.
You are just... That's outrageous.
I know. It's taken a turn for the worse, guys. Now, we're coming to the end of the show, but we did have another little quick thing that we wanted to talk about, and that was your time in the... you've had a car that's about to be replaced, but you had a bit of a drive.
Yeah, I guess it's what you could consider a bit of a last hurrah, a final goodbye before replacement time comes.
A toodle pip, if you will.
not the terminology I would use, Tim Nicholson. No.
I get away with it.
Yeah. But we are doodle pip. Mazda 6, new one coming very shortly. They're going to debut at the Paris Motor Show later this year. But I thought, you know, this car has been around for a while, but can it stand up to its rivals in the segment, considering we've just talked about the Malibu and the Camry and the Hyundai i40? This is one of the older players. I picked up a wagon from Mazda during the week and had a bit of a spin just to see if it's still got it, if the old thing still has a bit of life in it yet. And look... To this day, it is still a fantastic car.
Really?
It is the wagon variant, so it's obviously the more attractive of the two body styles.
It does have a nice rump.
It does.
Don't you think?
I totally agree.
Yeah.
A nice arse on a car is important for me, I think.
And
I
love the way you said arse.
Arse. That's my summer start bringing up. Occasionally it does come out after a few ciders. I do...
He gets the West Country accent.
I can't help it. I'm afraid it comes out every now and then.
Oh, wow. Bless.
He should be driving tractors, not Mazda 6s. What's going on? But wow. No, but I guess what I took out of it was we shouldn't write off cars that are, I guess, getting towards replacement. This car is on its last legs before it was replaced. It's 5 or 6 years old now. But it's still one of the very, very best cars in a segment. And I guess what it teaches is we should never judge a car just because it's about to be replaced, because they can still be among the best in the segment.
Yeah.
And I guess we get carried away with this shiny new, pretty shiny thing, brand new released model, and disregard the rest. But perhaps we should adjust every point and say, yeah, this car's a bit old, and it goes for every segment, but it's still damn good.
But it's also, by that point in a car's model life, the manufacturer has done everything to improve it. They've had all these years to go to get rid of all the bugs, to make any improvements and that kind of thing. So the last iteration of a model is usually the best.
The most refined. Yeah, absolutely. They found all the little problems, quite rightly. And
totally.
There's a bit of the old, consumer testing going on. You get a lot of feedback from, rather than jumping into the new model, I'd always, the prudent thing is sit back for a couple of months and wait until they've got it
absolutely
even better.
Yep.
And good point.
It's not like the old days where they'd have release a model for 8 or 10 years and pretty much not do anything with it apart from once, maybe halfway through its lifespan. They're constantly upgrading. So
does it work for your Massey Ferguson tractors as well?
Oh my god.
No, he was a Ford man, I'm afraid, down in Somerset. That's right.
That's amazing.
I should make a quick mention. We just had a call from Sarah regarding the scariest moment. We have given away the prize, but Sarah, we'll mention your story. Her scary moment was going down Mount Hotham with no brakes. How are you alive to send us that, Sarah? This is what I want to know.
I've driven up Mount Hotham with my father and mother and came back down it, and my father is one of the best driver I know, and I feel completely comfortable with him. That was the worst drive, and we gave up. It's an awful drive. So to do that with no brakes, that makes me very nervous.
It is a horrible drive.
Oh,
amazing.
In the heart of winter, it's awful. With no brakes, that is amazing driving.
That's incredible.
You must have pulled some MacGyver style stuff to get out of that scrape.
Absolutely.
Very impressive.
Very, very big thank you to Sarah and everyone that's texted and called in today. We do appreciate it.
Listening to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. More motoring news and info than you can poke your gear stick at.
Time for us to say goodbye. Bye.
Goodbye.
That's all. No, big thanks to everyone for texting in. Well done to Grant for winning the prize. And
absolutely brilliant. You may even see me there wandering around by myself because, I like doing that.
Exactly. Bit of a saddie.
He'll be the man wearing the sparkly fluorescent pink halter top.
Yeah, definitely not the Aqua t-shirt.
No, would not want to have that there. That could be awkward.
Okay, all right, thanks for the advice.
But thanks to everyone. We love your responses, and we will, of course, be back next week, I guess.
Probably.
Unless we get taken off air.
I will. Highly likely. No, I'll be here, even if we don't have any air time. I'll just be loitering around. Yeah.
This is Fender Bender signing off for another week. Safe driving.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.